North American fall crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our racehorse development fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Libertines joining us. And Jeremy Blanc will join us in just a minute or two, I think. Casey trying to raise him. He might be on the cell, Kay. That's a possibility if you're trying the house. Right? Is that a... You tell me. All right? I can see that Casey's going to answer me. He did. He's got Jeremy. And I was going to mention... about tomorrow, there are a couple of races. I want to try to get out ahead once we hit midweek, pick out some spots. And tomorrow at Sam Houston, there's a first-level allowance as they start their second week. First-level allowance going 1/16 on the grass, a 10-horse field. I guess Asmussen will be favored here, certainly Money Trend, the horse that he owns, that he took from Maker and Kendall Hansen. And just won a 15-claimer. Now he's going to try to clear his allowance conditions. A 5-year-old Distorted Humor. He's the horse to beat, no doubt. But, you know, it is turf. It is a turf race. So take a look at this spot. Nice bulky field. And at Gulfstream, there's a 3-year-old allowance. And maybe I'm sure Jeremy is going to keep an eye on this. It's 7 furlongs. You've got a first out winner for Navarro by the name of Premier Star, a Tapiture colt, won in December, going 7 furlongs, and happened to have beaten Cara Cairo, who came back and won well. That was the Delgado that came up earlier this morning with Andy. So Premier Star, the one to watch out of a Hold That Tiger mare. And there's also a couple of interesting horses. Mark Hennig's got a Don Adam, a Warfront colt that... by the name of Americanus, who won at First Asking and then ran into Independence Hall in the Nashua and got distanced. But I think you can draw a line through that, trying to regroup. He's 4-1, second, make a third choice. So a couple of spots to look toward tomorrow. And we look forward to talking now with Jeremy Plonk. Countdown to the crown. Second full week in the books. The LeCompte on Saturday. We'll look forward to that preview. Jeremy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I had to go to the dentist so I would have a face for radio. And I've upgraded to where I'm at least radio presentable.
Well, you don't sound like you still have any cotton in the mouth or any of that swollen or Novocaine side effect. You sound crisp and clear.
It's just an easy cleaning today, so I don't sound like Ed Ogeron on the radio. You know, God, what a performance by LSU last night. You know what? I got to drop this in real quick. I was channel flipping because that's just the way I am. I can't stand commercials and things like that. So during the championship game last night, I just flipped over to TVG because sometimes they have those classic shows on Monday or Tuesday. And the 2016 Pacific Classic was on, and I watched the replay of California Chrome and Beholder. And, boy, you forget sometimes how great of races we have seen in some recent years. You know, we bemoan the horses that leave too soon and how we never get any big matchups. But, man, what a performance. And if you haven't watched that race in a while, and honestly I forgot about it because so much happens in 3 years, but that race California Chrome ran that day was phenomenal because Beholder was in good form. She was all out in second throughout, and he just cantered home. What a great performance. Go back and check that replay out if you haven't in a while, and it'll make you feel good about some of the stuff you see on the track and give you a boost. You know, there's one thing about racing it'll do. It'll rejuvenate you sometimes. And, you know, I remember back in 2013 being there Derby week, and I don't know if I had pneumonia or the worst flu I've ever had in my life, but spent the whole week just absolutely sick. And then that sprint race on Derby Day between Amazombie and Shackleford, the Churchill Downs handicap, what a throwdown that was. It just, like, lifted me, and it got me through the rest of the day and the weekend and the drive home. And, you know, there's just something about a great race that's hard to mimic. And even while watching a championship game last night, the best thing I saw on TV last night was a replay of that California Chrome race.
That's pretty funny, and in fact, that race, you know, there's a few funny names that make you smile. That would have been in 2016,
mm-hmm.
and War Story was seventh,
right.
And here he is preparing for what his fourth Pegasus try, or third at least.
Yeah, he was 99-1 in the post parade, and I think Simon was on the track walking next to the horses, and it might have been him or LaDuca back at the table said something like, he's 99-1, but don't tell his owner that. Luch thinks he's 9-1 in here. It was a great line. I like that one.
He ended up going off at 137-1, but he did. There were two horses behind him, including a pretty good one in Hard Aces, and also Win the Space. But, yeah, California Chrome by five over Beholder. Dortmund was third. Opportunity.
They ran all the way around the track. Those
yep.
three all ran their race that day. And just
Opportunity,
and just
California
too. Chrome was just so good. I mean,
yeah.
So good that day.
Not just that day. I mean, that was when he was in, he was still – you know, in a very nice routine. I forget where I was when I watched the Dubai, the race in Dubai, but the World Cup win. But he just was so impressive that day, and then he came home, won the San Diego, won the Pack Classic, won the Awesome again, and then it ran into, you know, the buzzsaw in Arrogate. But that was still a terrific performance and a quality effort. In fact, I just was talking about that. I was talking about that last night, in fact, with Andy. Andy and I were talking, and that race came up, the Arrogate California Chrome Classic.
Well, it's funny because this year with Countdown to the Crown, you know, this is our 15th season, and one of the sections of the Friday report that I'm putting out is the 15 best three-year-olds I've scouted, and it started with looking at Lucky at 15, Orbit 14 last week, and this week we'll reveal number 13 in the Friday report. But, you know, after seeing that race, I mean, I'm looking just three-year-old seasons, but it just reminds you of really how good California Chrome was and, you know, how close he was to becoming a Triple Crown winner. I mean, he would have beat American Pharoah to the punch by 2 years, you know, had he delivered there in the Belmont. And he had very few misfires in his career. You know, the race at Parks, he didn't run a good one. And of course, the Belmont Stakes, he was worn down. But what a phenomenal career and what a great racehorse he was. And, you know, he's got a lot of fans online and the Twitterites and the Chromies and things like that. You know, sometimes you think reputation, and everybody kind of has, you know, fanboy, fangirl kind of in them, and you think they might overinflate some horses. But that's the case, I think, where you had a horse who was legitimately really, really super good and had the fan base to follow. So that's a pretty strong combination. That wasn't a phony fandom there. That was a great race for him.
Well, and you had, to add to it, to enhance it, you also had the incredibly warm story involving the Shermans and Art and Shermie and there was just so much to like about it. That,
and you had the owners as a foil, right? I mean, that kind of made too, that makes for a storyline. And it's funny because Brian Natto and I were texting before the national championship game last night, and we were talking about something, and I said, there's no storylines, there's no storylines anymore. It's just narratives, Everybody kind of wants, in the media, everybody wants a narrative, and whether it kind of plays out that way or not, they tell the story based on the narrative they want to tell. And, it was actually about Clemson's defensive coordinator, Brent Venables, because he was like, it's funny that nobody mentions that he was run out of Oklahoma because he couldn't stop a spread defense, or a spread offense, And then he gets to Clemson last night, and, they ran him out of the gym with LSU with the spread offense last night, So but the narrative is you're the greatest defensive mind in college football these days. And so, a narrative gets built in there and the media goes with it. And I know we were part of that with the NBC broadcast and stuff, that we played the owner thing up. And of course, what happened with, Kenny Rice's live interview with the Belmont, then that became more of a national story than, the way it went, because that was kind of, that was real raw human emotion and a couple bourbons mixed in with it. And it made for great television and people talked more about it. But I think you need all those elements to a great story too. So California Chrome had them all. And most of all, he had a lot of talent, and that's why we're talking about him. And that's why that race 3 years later, just stumbling into it last night, channel flipping, it re-sparked my interest in him again. And that just goes to show how good
he was. Pretty funny. I love it. Well, having just been in Cincinnati overnight on Saturday, and one thing I caught in advance of the game was the focus on Joe Burrow and on Southeastern Ohio, which is which is a depressed area. And I can tell you that from years ago when I worked for Cannon Mills, based in Cincinnati, and I would travel, literally down, that whole corner toward Athens and Rio Grande, Ohio, where the home of Bob Evans, the actual Bob Evans farm,
right.
And would go into West Virginia and to Charleston and make sales calls and on coal companies and things, and I happen to know that area a little bit, and the pride and the joy associated with Joe Burrow down.
Oh, and if he can come back to be the Bengals' number one pick, which in all likelihood he should be.
That'd be great.
I mean, that's hometown boy, certainly from the region. That all makes too much sense, the Bengals will find a way to bungle it. But,
stop! Don't do that. The poor Bengals.
I mean, I don't know. Collinsworth and Kenny Anderson, they've been a little dry.
Well, you think about that Super Bowl against the Niners that they could have won. I mean, it was it's funny. There had been that extended era when the Super Bowl every year stunk, and that was the first Super Bowl that was really an engaging game. And then since then, there's been good games more often than bad games ever since then. But that's always the one. What was it? 26-21, I think, in that range. And boy, who knows how the Bengals' fortunes would have changed if they had won that game. And I had lived in Cincinnati, and I mean, I still love it. I still love going there. Let's get a couple of things. We're gonna run ourselves. You're gonna pull a Johnny D with me, and we're gonna.
Or, we don't have enough time for Johnny D. You need
that's for sure.
40 minutes.
That's true. We can. He and I
And I know he's listening. So, you know,
absolutely.
Book your time accordingly when you got a call with Johnny. That's all.
Very true. some thoughts. You know, I want to get a LeCompte preview from you before we adjourn. But give us, you know, the obvious, you know, take on all those maidens. We had the 2 mile races at Gulfstream and the 2 6 furlong races plus the allowance. And it's funny, the allowance win ends up being, you know, probably anticlimactic to some degree, you know, from a figure standpoint anyway. We'll see where New York traffic goes from here. But between Caracaro and Violent City, you know, those appeared to be the two that really stood out. And, you know, that disc jockey win by the Safi Joseph second race winner,
that kind of is right.
That snuck under the radar a little bit, disc jockey.
Yeah, and normally you would kind of like thumb your nose at those kind of races, you know, this time of year. But when you look at, you know, where Maximum Security came from last year and what's going on, you know, with these locals and, you know, these Gulfstream year-round types, you know, Gustavo Delgado and Safi Joseph, what they're doing is, you know, I won't say we're used to seeing this in, like, January, February at Gulfstream, but in a way, you know, you go back to the Trust and Lux and horses like that, the booklets, you know, you're kind of like Florida-bred Florida locals who do well early in the campaign, but by the time the Florida Derby comes around, we're usually seeing, you know, more of the blue bloods kind of lap those horses in terms of becoming Derby prospects. So we don't want to like go crazy and say, wow, this is the year of the local, you know, at Gulfstream, because we've kind of seen this before. And that's one of the beauties of experience that there's no substitute for. Most of these trail things that we see aren't new. You know, the one thing that is new is horses are winning later in the campaign and getting later starts, you know, with 3 straight Derby winners being maidens coming into their 3-year-old year. We hadn't seen that since Monarcos in 2001 until it's happened the last 3 years. So, you know, some of this we've seen before with some good early season performances by locally based horses. I thought at Gulfstream, the horse who won the day was Caracora. I thought that was the best performance. I graded it a B+ in my scale. I'm going A+ through F in my grades. That was the best, highest graded race I had this weekend at Gulfstream. And, you know, when you look at this horse and you say, well, that might be a local, you know, Delgado, we saw him a couple years ago with a horse who got pretty far on the trail. I think he ran second in the Florida Derby with the maiden. You know, so he can get a horse down this path. There's some decent pedigree with Caracora, though, and that's the thing is, you know, he's not given up a lot in terms of being a blue blood, you know. His second dam was Santa Catarina, you know, second in the Kentucky Oaks, third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. If that's his first generation, you're talking about what an impeccably bred horse he is, you know. So his second dam was a really, really good 3-year-old filly, second in the Kentucky Oaks. He's got some pedigree about him. And that was a good win. So I think he stole the day in terms of the best performance. There were some other good performances, a couple of off-Broadway performances, if you will, I'd like to talk about. But at Gulfstream on Saturday, I thought Caracora was the star of the day.
Well, we'll see how quickly horses like, you know, Violent City get stretched out. And, you know, King Meister, you know, certainly Hennig will go forward. It'll be difficult to, you know, even with a 74 buyer coming out of this.
Yeah, King River, he's closely related to Strike Power, who he looks a lot like. The benefit of experience here is you've kind of seen some of these plays before, right? They're just different acts with a different year next to them in the playbill. And so, you know, Strike Power was really good and then hit his distance limit. And I think with King Meister, they didn't come home that fast in the race. The overall number, as you cited, what was in the 70s. You know, so if you're a subscriber to that scale, you're probably not going to look at King Meister and say, oh, yes, yeah, this is a mile and an eighth, mile and a quarter horse. You know, he's probably going to end up somewhere like Strike Power and be pretty decent, a nice stakes horse for sure, but up to maybe like a mile in distance. And really, sprinters were the rule of the week. You know, no parole down at Fairgrounds was just phenomenal for the second straight race. You know, he's won 2 by 27-plus. No parole looks like the deal to me in the sprint ranks. He reminds me a lot of Lost in the Fog. Remember, Lost in the Fog won his first 2 races, one up in Northern California, then went down to Arizona and won a little stakes race at Turf Paradise. you know, that regional, just so fast, but how good is he? I mean, I think no parole, there's not, you know, there's not a huge distance pedigree there, but just an absolute star. And I thought Wesley Ward uncorked a really promising three-year-old sprinter named Merchants of Cool. He ran at Caneland during the spring meet as a two-year-old and didn't run a lick. And usually those kind of horses aren't much. But he brought Merchants of Cool back last week at Turfway. I believe it was Friday night. And that horse whistled and looked really good in doing so. Going 6.5. I don't think he's going to go very far, but I think that's a real three-year-old sprinter to watch named Merchants of Cool. So I think, you know, the sprint ranks really did well for themselves last week. And I don't know how many classic-type horses we got, but I know that No Parole is looking like a really good sprinter. Merchants of Cool looks like a really promising sprinter. And I think, like you said, Mark's horse, King Meister, I think can be a really nice sprinter. So future looks bright for that division.
Any, you know, anything else that caught your eye that people are going to read about?
I think Palm Springs runner-up finish was interesting in that race when he ran second to Violent City. Violent City probably wasn't expected to run that well first time. We had a great stat, though. If you in your ExpressBet account on Friday and Saturday when you log in, I do the stats and trends in there for key races throughout the cards on the Stronic 5 on Friday and on Saturday. And the Sire of Violence, first-time starters at Gulfstream on the dirt, really had a strong record. And that was one of the stats we cited to keep an eye on going into that race. Violent City ran the pedigree and against the trainer stat, right? I mean, you had something kind of conflicting there because you don't expect Ian Wilkes to have 6-furlong sprinters right out of the block being brilliant and asked to be brilliant right off the bat. So Violent City ran well despite trainer intent, really, and that's usually a sign of a pretty good horse. But I thought, you know, the runner-up in there, I think, is going to get a lot of attention because Palm Springs was a million-dollar Pletcher, bred to go longer. There's a lot of distance in the pedigree there. And he looked dead in the water like the jock was in the bicycle or at the quarter pole. Wasn't going anywhere. Going to be a distant fourth at best. And then came back on for second and galloped out pretty well. So I think Palm Springs is one of those horses that's going to make a big leap forward in the second start. And we'll get a little bit more ground, probably one turn mile next, and he'll be, you know, he's 3-5 in this race. He'll be probably 3-5 or less going a one turn mile next time. And he could have a breakout race. So Palm Springs is one of those horses who didn't win last weekend, but it might be the next time that really springs him forward.
Nice. And I suppose since I brought it up as you were joining us and given how well you liked the performance of Caracaro, I guess premier star tomorrow at Gulfstream in that seventh race going seven. And again, I don't know how far this one wants to go, but Tapiture out of a Hold That Tiger mare. But, you know, clearly with care and Militarist, you know, who disappointed a little bit for Carlo Vacaresa in that spot. But premier star tomorrow off the win and the 82 buyer. And I can tell for those that are figure conscious, a 6¾ debut on Thoroughgraph for premier star as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good sign. That's what you want to see. You want to see horses coming out of races where there are other positive performances and winners coming out of them. And as good as Caracora looked, and really was, you know, second best after setting the pace in his premier star, who got the first over trip that day and got carried out and still went on. You know, we'll see with the distance, you know, how much farther premier star will want to go in his career. He got out a little bit in the lane in that first start, coming back at seven again tomorrow. So that shouldn't be any issue at all. But that's what you want to see. And that's why, you know, I've always kept these lists, and you can go back and look at the archives of Countdown to the Crown. But this year, for the first time at CountdownToTheCrown.com, we've got a searchable database in there of all the maiden and allowance races with all my comments, my grades for each race. So like when a horse like Premier Star is running back, you can go back, check his last race, see if his name appears anywhere else. You'll see a comment in the Caracora recap from this weekend that says this race flatters Premier Star. Think along those lines. We picked a nice winner out over the weekend that way, playing on the using the database to come up with a winner. I believe it was at Fairgrounds, a horse who was coming out of another key race. So those kind of handicapping angles can help us when we look at these strength of schedule type of discussions here in January and February. And that's all free. You can just go and sort through the database yourself. Everything's updated through this past weekend.
Well, we'll be looking forward to the written version. But in the meantime, what's your early read here to close out the conversation, Jeremy? Let's talk about the LeCompte on Saturday, which drew a very interesting group of 14.
Yeah, I mean, you got that triple rematch from Fairgrounds on December 21st, right? That allowance race, everybody wanted to see Mr. Monomoy with map accessible or accession. They're all back, you know, so you got the three-way rematch. Some tough post draws, you know. I mean, the pill pool wasn't favorable to Lynn's map for sure. Out in the 14 hole, Mr. Monomoy got the best of that probably in the two path, and there's no speed to his inside. So Ferran Giroux can kind of do what he wants, I think, early in the race. He can take the field out a little bit into the first turn. He's got perfect start to his outside and some others with some speed. But, you know, when you've got, like, no speed on the rail inside of you and you're in the two path, you can kind of break, go out a path or two, drift everybody a little bit wider. You know, Lynn's map's probably the horse you got to beat if you're Mr. Monomoy, because that's the one who beat you by a head last time. That one's in the 14 hole, and you can kind of control how wide they go. So the power sword is definitely in the hand of Laurent Giroux in this race, you know, based on the post draw. Scabbard on the comeback, we'll get to see, you know, some semblance of what we can make out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You know, Anodore ran pretty well in the race at Los Al in the Futurity. Wrecking Crew's been excellent, you know. So, you know, the quality of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile will get a little bit of a push. We'll see how Scabbard performs in there. I haven't handicapped the race all the way through, but I do have a little bit of interest in a long shot. And I know this horse is probably going to be 20-1 or more. Sha-Sha Shake Me Up for Keith DeSormo. Jeff Siegel and I, we do our podcast on Thursdays, the Express Bet First Call podcast. And I know going into the Sugar Bowl, he and I both really thought that the debut win for Sha-Sha Shake Me Up, it was one of those restricted sales maiden specials at Churchill, but was really impressive. And we both thought he'd run a lot better in the Sugar Bowl when he was just kind of even Steven and didn't do much. It was a sloppy track that day. They were coming back in about 5 weeks, including travel in between. Now this horse has been settled in at Fairgrounds for a couple of months. I think Sha-Sha Shake Me Up has some talent by Shackelford out of a pulpit mare, so there's no reason why the horse couldn't get a mile and a 16th. Not a great post in the 12 hole, but, you know, Jimmy Graham's a jock who's rock solid at Fairgrounds. Doesn't get bet hard, though. You know, James Graham's not the kind of jock who's going to take money. So I think you're going to get a price on Sha-Sha Shake Me Up. I haven't handicapped this race all the way through, you know, and won't say that that's going to be my top pick in the race, but it very well could be, and it'll be a nice price.
The thing I brought up yesterday with John White, and we kind of went through this field and gave everybody an early introduction. I find it remarkable. You look at a group of 14 horses, and 10 of them are coming off of wet track performances. And so whether it's the last out winners, like a Sycamore Run or Lynn's Map, you know, or horses that ran well in defeat, like Finnick the Fierce, who at 88-1 got beat, you know, a length, less than a length, diminishing length to Silver Prospector, you've got to make a determination over who may have benefited from the wet track for, you know, whatever reason, race flow or, you know, predilection. And then you've got to figure out what it means in this spot, and have not checked the advanced forecast yet. You know, this time of year, you get plenty of wet weather in NOLA, but that's a big part of this equation. And then you've also got a horse like Perfect Star for Scott Gellner, coming off an allowance win on the turf, and he's going to go back to the dirt. And I don't think he necessarily, you know, is a guaranteed that, you know, he can't negotiate the main track. So you got some tricky calls here. You also have got to deal with the coronation winner, right? You've got the one,
the synthetic over there.
Yeah, coming off for Asmussen.
And the horse won on the main at Churchill during the fall. You know,
yeah.
It's not like the question was probably going to the synthetic, not necessarily coming back. So, and you know, deal with a race like the Coronation Futurity is you take a mile and an eighth that early in the year, and those races usually end up being carousels. So for a horse to sit a little off the pace and pass two, three, four runners like Halo Again did in that race, is the exception, not the rule. If you look at the Remsen over the years, because that's really the race in America that we think about, that it's a mile and an eighth late in the year for the two-year-olds, race is almost always won by a horse, you know, first or second early on in the race. They just, none of the two-year-olds really want to go nine furlongs is the moral of the story, and whoever makes the pace and is the best horse just generally wins those kind of races. But Halo, again, that's a feather in his cap to be able to sit and finish in a race like that. Synthetic or dirt, either way you look at it. So he's got two-turn experience. Some of these will be trained, you know, like the horse I mentioned, Shasha Take Me Up, hasn't gone two turns yet. Bango hasn't gone two turns yet. There's a couple in here. Silver Slate for Asmussen tries two turns for the first time after a one-turn mile. So there's a lot of questions in this race, and there's not a – just like this crop, right? I mean, this is what we're going to – I think this is like – the race like we see in the LeCompte, Steve, is just a precursor to what we're going to see for the next 2 months. You know, there is not a standout in this crop. There's not a horse who's just is 3-5 by his name in the program as soon as he shows up in a stakes race. There's just not those kind of horses right now. I mean, some that, you know, maybe when Dennis's Moment comes back and we'll see there. But, you know, these races are going to be proving grounds early in the season, and we're going to basically be formulating kind of a January 1-on opinion of this crop this year, more so than some of the others. I will say this, though. A good name from last year's crop that you have to go to xbtv.com and check out the workout. Tis the Law's workout this past weekend. Work with Barclays' good $500,000 older horse, Tale of Silence, and made him look pedestrian. Just a phenomenal teamwork from Tis the Law. If you had any doubt about Tis the Law after the Kentucky Jockey Club, did he just kind of peak early and is he not going to develop, move it into his three-year-old year? That last workout, if you go to xbtv.com and search for it, Tis the Law, that's going to alleviate a lot of concerns you have about that horse. I was concerned about him. I moved him down to like number 9, 10 in my preseason poll because I just wasn't sure. That Churchill race turned me off, but maybe it was just the trip. But I will say this, especially put him on the outside, a Tale of Silence in that workout. His problem was down inside, and he didn't want to go, you know, in traffic and things like that at Churchill, stuff down on the inside. So maybe he just needs to be on the outside, but that was a phenomenal workout. Really good.
Well, you want to see a workout that might disconcert. I don't know if you saw my tweet last night. The XBTV put up 1,000 words against Paint Me Lucky, yeah. You know, who's a four-year-old maiden.
Right.
Paint Me Lucky handed him his head, and I mean, beat him like a rental car. I was like stunned watching it. How good Paint Me Lucky!
But he, real quick, because I know you're rolling out.
I'm out.
I've misread two or three Babbitt workouts coming into races recently with his teamwork. The horse doesn't look as good as the other is. Been the one who ends up winning in the afternoon.
So well,
I'm having a hard time reading Baffert works right now. Maybe there's something to it.
Well, 1,000 words. I mean, it looked. And plus, he pulled up past the wire like he was out of breath chasing Paint Me Lucky. Yeah. I don't know if that means Paint Me Lucky breaks his maiden next time or not, but keep an eye out. Jeremy, thanks so much. Countdown to the Crown, and the weekend preview is coming from both. Jeff Siegel will join us on Friday, and Jeremy, and horseplayernow.com, Countdown to the Crown. I want to thank Jerry Robb and Brian Michael, who gave us a really fun 45 minutes or more this morning talking about the 2 9-win runners from last year. Really fun. Anna's Bandit and Pikachu, Andy Serling, Victoria Keith, and JP just now. Good luck if you're playing this afternoon, everybody. I'm back to another eye surgeon. Gonna go see what he thinks of this cataract. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. Whether at home at
at the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.